The Off the Ball Podcast Network. OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
So, a little bit of history last night for Manchester City, as for the very first time in their history, they won a cup game at Old Trafford against Manchester United. Watching in the crowd were some of the grand poobahs of Manchester United, which must have made it all the more difficult that they were sitting just rows from the current hierarchy of the club. I'm delighted to say we've got Andy Mitten with us this morning to talk about what the fallout might be for Manchester United, for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and perhaps finally for Ed Woodward as well. Andy, good morning to you. How are you doing this morning?
Well, it's not a good morning, but it is a morning. And I woke up thinking, did that really happen? And yes, it did happen. I thought it was dreadful. I thought Manchester United in the first half were appallingly bad. Manchester City were so far above Manchester United's level that it was as surprising as United winning at City last month. United improved in the second half, but City's record at Old Trafford is exceptionally good in the last 10 months. But as a United fan, it feels awful. It feels absolutely awful. And it's been a terrible start to 2020.
The picture of David Gill sitting in the crowd, the picture of Wayne Rooney sitting in the crowd alongside Ryan Giggs, this was not exactly what Manchester United needed to be reminded of last night. It was like, oh, this is what we used to be, and look at what we are now. What happened over the last 3 or 4 months that took away that level of hope that there was, that Solskjaer was beginning to build something?
I'd say December was actually quite good. They played 9 times, they won 6 games, and they only lost 1 game, although it didn't feel good after the defeat walking away from Vicarage Road in Watford. That was another wretched performance. And when they're bad, they're really, really, really bad. And dropping points at home to Aston Villa, a Villa team who had the worst away record in the league. Watford had won 1 of the 17 games before they beat Manchester United. And I know they've picked up since, but still, you know, you can't just be pulling out these excuses. It's not good enough. It's not close to being good enough. And you're always going to get reminders of past greats. You had them after the team that dominated and won the European title, the European Cup in 1968, you still had greats going to games in the 70s and 80s. That's what happens at the biggest clubs, the most successful clubs. It's a positive and a negative that they sat there. We saw Sir Alex Ferguson sat in the crowd, and you'd love to know what he was thinking as well. And I know he's supportive of what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is trying to do. I think the fans have been very patient, very supportive, but there's got to be minimum levels as well. It's not unconditional, and nor is it the fault of one single person. The owners are not popular. Ed Woodward must take some responsibility because he's overseen poor recruitment. And if he talked, as he did to me when I interviewed him in October, about a new recruitment system, fans really need to start seeing the results of that pretty soon, because their support has been far more than can be expected. But when you get beat like that, and it wasn't just a defeat against City, it was an annihilation in that first half. And there's always mitigating circumstances. There are injuries, but the squad is light, and it went into the season light, and you've got very talented young players, but they're being asked to perform, not surrounded by world-class players like when the class of 92 came through, but surrounded by players who were underperforming themselves. And Manchester United have got the highest wage bill in the league. The owners can get stick, and not without reason as well, for what they take out of the club. But United have spent a lot of money on players who've really underperformed. So you've got to spread the blame across the board. There has to be an improvement. This season cannot finish like last season finished, where it just peters out into nothingness. I don't think they get away with that. I think the fans will turn with that. I think they've got to try and win a trophy. I think the League Cup would have been a success for this year, because they're not going to come close to winning the title, and that's been clear right throughout. There's the Europa League, there's the FA Cup, but when the team's so inconsistent, you wonder how they can win a cup.
Just on that recruitment point you make, Andy, Solskjaer is speaking about that in the aftermath of the game, and he says, I've got the backing to do something, but if it isn't the right thing, we are not going to do that, obviously, he said. But it does suggest that, quote, that perhaps there hasn't been a plan put in place about what they are going to do in January, that perhaps there wasn't an awareness at the end of last summer that they needed to sign again in the next window and the window after that. Surely these windows should be planned ahead.
I think they do plan ahead. They think it's difficult to get players in January. Their point of view is that the best clubs don't want to sell the best players, which Manchester United should be competing for. In January, players don't want to step down from playing in the Champions League to play for a team in the Europa League. That's another price of a team that's failed to get into the Champions League. And I'm sure that they'll bring players in the summer. But needs must right now. The team needs strengthening. You can see that, especially with the injuries. And nobody counted on Paul Pogba not being able to play this season. He's the most talented player at the club. So that's another problem. And then you saw the defence last night. And Phil Jones, he was really, really poor. And I don't wish it on anyone. I don't like to see professional footballers and decent people struggling like that. And you can lace it with the ironies that formerly castigated players like Chris Smalling have gone to Italy and become the best player in the league there. And that just shows how battered their confidence can become at Old Trafford, where the pressure is really high. But I think they've got to strengthen. They've got to strengthen in January. The fans need a lift. However, they needed a lift when Juan Mata signed, when Alexis Sanchez signed. If they bring a player in, he's got to be the right player. But then agents are going to know that Manchester United are desperate because of the pressure brought on by the poor results. And you can throw onto the top of all this that City are the league champions and Liverpool are the European champions. It is an unholy mess for Manchester United.
That point on the confidence of the players and Chris Smalling is interesting because, I don't know, there seems to be a growing annoyance almost among some Manchester United fans that Solskjaer is always so positive in the aftermath of these defeats, like talking about how well they performed at times in the second half was his tone in the press conference last night. But at the same time then, it's your argument that perhaps you can't afford to be too negative as Manchester United boss because there's already all this pressure on the players.
Well, look what happened when Jose Mourinho wasn't positive. That then leads on to the point where the media look for a reaction from the people who he's been criticised. So say if he criticised Luke Shaw, as he did and Louis van Gaal did, then they look for a reaction from the Shaw camp and they come out to say, well, they're not happy with what's happening, and that creates more side issues. From what I understand, and I know what's going on in some aspects behind the scenes, Ole Gunnar is far from positive in the dressing room. He puts on a positive face publicly for several reasons. One, because he knows the confidence of his players is fragile. Two, he's not going to talk down the value of players. He's not going to say what he really thinks on some players because that strengthens their position massively when it comes to leaving the club and talks down their transfer fee. So I can see why he's doing that. And I'm more concerned that while United can look so good against some of the best teams under Solskjaer, that they're incapable of beating some of the worst teams. Fans have been patient. I actually quite like the idea of what he's trying to do. I get that it's going to take time. I get that there's going to be bumps along the way. And there are big bumps. But when you go in 3-0 down against City, having been in the job for over a year, you're going to get criticised for that. And with good reason. It's just not good enough.
It's obviously not good enough. But is this a staging post along the way? Is this just a bump? Or because last night was so humiliating, because it was against Man City, because it was a moment of history for them, does that tempt Ed Woodward to make a decision? Does that speed or spur him on to make a decision, or the owners to make a decision and go, okay, well, we've got this wrong, let's go again?
Well, what happens the next time? Who's going to come in and change it? The next manager's going to come in and say exactly the same as the previous four managers have come in. This isn't my squad. This is going to take time to rebuild. And David Moyes was doing that 3 weeks after arriving, saying there needs to be a serious rebuild here. And at the time, I was thinking, why? They've just won the league. And maybe he had a point. He probably did have a point. And Louis van Gaal said the same thing. And the fans go along with the new manager at the time. Great, he's getting rid of all the deadwood. This is the man that we need. And when the results don't come, and the competition's much stronger, that has got to be said. Every Premier League team now is far, far better resourced than they were in the 90s and the noughties. United can no longer go to Leicester, let alone Tottenham Hotspur, and get their best players like they used to be able to do, because they just don't need to sell because they've got so much money. But it's still Manchester United. They're still a giant of world football. They're one of the three biggest teams in the world. They will come right again one day, but that day doesn't seem to be getting any closer at the moment. And there has to be minimum requirements. And when you get results like last night, it just whacks the confidence of the fans.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is a vicious circle that he's in at the moment, where the confidence of the team is so fragile that after the first goal goes in, there's no way that they can get themselves back. The fans feed off that, and his own confidence has got to be shot as well. So I guess I agree with you, right? The next manager who comes in is going to do exactly the same thing as the previous managers, but somebody might be better experienced. Somebody might have a better grip on what the best way to build your recruitment system actually is. Somebody might have experience in managing a club of Manchester United size, and that might be something which tempts the ownership. I guess that's the question. It might not be the right thing to do, but that hasn't stopped Ed Woodward from making bad decisions in the past. Is he more likely to make a knee-jerk reaction on the back of a result like this, given that it is against Man City?
I don't think he will make a knee-jerk reaction. I think that he would get that much stick and have to preach in patience, and that I don't think he will. And also, the grass isn't always greener with other managers. I get the point that someone might come in and be a better manager. If Pep Guardiola took over tomorrow, he might have more tactical acumen, well, he would have, than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and his team. But United have gone down what they thought was the Fergie clone with Moyes. They've gone down the Van Gaal route, proven international winner. They've gone down the route of the guaranteed winner, Jose Mourinho. And none of them have really worked. They were highlights at times with all of them, but they've all lost the job after two and a half years. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer might lose his job after two and a half years. He might lose his job after 1.5 years. But it seems a big setback if they're bringing someone else in to start the whole process again. I don't think there'll be a knee-jerk reaction, but there's got to be minimum requirements before the end of this season. He's not been in the job now for 2 weeks. He's been in the job for over a year. And the end of last season was atrocious. There just cannot be a repeat of that. There needs to be some hope. The fans have got to see some sign of improvement, even though they know it's going to take time.
Yeah, and there's obviously a second leg to come, so it could get much worse as well. Andy, any sense of there being any activity over this window, even a squad player, somebody to bolster the squad or change the tone a bit?
You say it could get worse, it could get better. This is a madly frustrating thing about Manchester United. Just when you think they're about to go under, they pull out a really good result. I can remember speaking to you on the morning of the Tottenham game a month ago, and they played superbly well and won that, and then they beat Manchester City. I don't think they're going to go through out of this tie. I went to Paris in March and didn't think they were going through either. I've seen this happening, and most of them are not good under this Manchester United team. As for other players, there's speculation, but nothing beyond that. But I do think the squad needs strengthening. Someone should be brought in January, not only to strengthen the squad, but also to lift the spirits among the supporters, because plenty of them are starting to lose faith.
Yeah, Andy, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us under difficult circumstances for you this morning as a Man United fan. Cheers, man.
Thank you.
I signed for them after the Euros. After my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? Like, I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Wow. Phil Egan is here. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning, how are you doing?
This is the most pressurised moment of the day, obviously.
It is, I feel like there should be a spotlight on me almost.
You've got to get the answers right.
It'd be an awful shine off my head though.
There is a lot on the line. We have an actual deal. We're starting with an actual deal.
Hold on a minute, we did have more deals other than Minamino for yesterday. We all forgot about Jack Rodwell to Sheffield United. So, carry on, but like,
which is a big deal that a Premier League club has actually come in for Jack Rodwell.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, he's done well there.
Danny Drinkwater is confirmed, yeah. We have an actual deal. Chelsea midfielder, he's been on loan at Burnley, has completed a loan move to Aston Villa until the end of the season. This is a weird situation. But anyway, can Danny Drinkwater help save Aston Villa?
From what I saw of him for Burnley this season, he played one league game. That was against Manchester City. He was so far off the pace. So I don't know what he's going to bring to the Aston Villa midfield. You think he only played 23 times for Chelsea. I don't even remember him playing 23 times for Chelsea. It was a strange signing at the time. It was one of those Conte signings where you thought...
Right after they won the league, wasn't it?
It was this... After Chelsea won the league.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. No, Leicester, he didn't go straight after Leicester won the league. He did a season and then he went the next season. But It's one of those strange signings. You kind of said, do you know what? Conte has turned Victor Moses and Marcos Alonso into Premier League winning wing-backs. We'll trust him on this one. But it didn't really amount to anything, and he's pretty much been told you're not going to get any game time under Frank Lampard.
160 grand a week, apparently. Oh. Maybe it's 110, is it? I don't know. The Athletic had the details on it anyway. Burnley only had to pay 60 grand. And Chelsea were like, De Villa, look, you've got to pay the whole thing. Drinkwater got himself out of the Burnley clause. There was a break clause in January, which ran out on the 6th of January. And on the 7th, he was having a medical at Villa. Once he heard Villa were interested.
And I'd say Burnley were happy enough.
I'm getting out of here. Well, Dyche says, you know, it didn't really work out for him. Couldn't break into the centre midfield. But he was injured in a fight outside a nightclub in September and only recently recovered. I was like, okay, is that what you want to inject into your...
This is where Villa are at the moment. Villa are just trying a few things because Premier League survival is on the line.
I have another Villa story here which I'm going to skip forward to. According to the Telegraph, Aston Villa have been in contact with Crystal Palace over a move to re-sign Belgian striker Christian Benteke. Can Benteke save Villa season?
No. He did a few seasons ago.
We love Christian
49 goals in 101 games for Villa.
He was great.
He hasn't paid for them for 5 years.
He looked
We won't talk about what happened after. We won't talk about the fact that he hasn't scored a goal for Palace this season.
Four goals in 17-18 season.
Maybe when he puts on the Villa shirt again, it all comes back to him.
Maybe. Because, I mean, he was dynamic.
He kind of moved to Liverpool off the back of it.
Could score every type of goal. Yeah, he didn't do great stuff at Liverpool either, did he?
Apart from that overhead at Old Trafford, which gets overlooked because Martial scored in his debut that day. But Benteke...
The answer is no to the question. And what about like saving Aston Villa as if like they're in some sort of perilous state? They're not in the relegation zone.
They're pretty perilous, one point above it.
They're teetering around it. They've just got promoted. They're still figuring it out in the Premier League. They're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. They've been dragged in.
The worst thing is getting dragged in because then you don't know if you're ready
for a
fight.
The thing is that they didn't stick with the team that got them up. They got rid of all of those players, and that they should have just stuck with the team and then added two or three players.
It turns out they did a Fulham.
You're being revisionist too early, I think. Wait till they actually survive in the Premier League for a season, and then you'll be like, well, that was actually a really good season from Aston Villa.
Oh, look, survival would be amazing.
They do need to sign, not Christian Benteke, though.
In Germany, Bild reports that Borussia Dortmund attacker Mario Götze will not sign a new contract and will leave the club in a free transfer when his contract expires at the end of the season. He was a previous Manchester United target, but that trail went cold. It is expected that any club would need to match the 27. He's only 27. He's the same age as Jesse Lingard. Would need to match the 27-year-old's 160 grand a week wages, which is nothing to the top clubs. Would a reunion with club at Liverpool be a good idea here?
No.
It'd be great for Mario Götze, but not for Liverpool.
Great for German sports writers.
Yeah, if Liverpool are looking for one player from Dortmund, it's Jadon Sancho and not Mario Götze.
Yeah, that's pretty much...
Götze's past it.
You would have thought so. If you're signing a player who's struggling to get minutes, as you said there, for Borussia Dortmund, then if you profess to be the best team in the world, then you don't sign that player. Unless he comes in and says, I'm happy to be the new Jordan Shaqiri. I'll make a contribution to 10 Premier League games a year, a significant contribution, and play your cup games for you a year.
160 grand a week, I'm your man.
Yeah, that's not going to fit into Liverpool's wage structure. I know they pay big wages, but they tend to give big wages to players that have earned those contracts. Not in you come, you're not doing so well. So I can't see it happening.
On to Italy. Corriere della Sera report that Arturo Vidal could be on his way to either Manchester United or Inter Milan for 20 million. Now, we brought you the fact yesterday that Arturo Vidal is 32 years of age. 20 million.
Still the case.
According to the paper, his agent Fernando Filicevic, who was the man behind Alexis Sanchez's amazing deal at Manchester United, he's travelling from South America to meet the two clubs, which you would do. Like, Man United, yeah, I've just chartered a jet. It's a giant Boeing 767.
I would watch a Flying the Wall documentary about this guy that they've commissioned from South America to commission all these years. I didn't even know that there was a Sanchez connection here because I was just about to say that surely the Alexis Sanchez deal has scarred Manchester United for life and that they will never, ever, ever sign somebody who resembles that, let alone an old player who also happens to be Chilean. Like, I mean, don't let that affect you, Manchester United, if you want to dig a hole deeper for yourself, especially if they're going down this route of youth and some Manchester United fans may be able to look on the bright side of life at the moment. This would disrupt all of that. Yeah. Absolutely not. No.
If he goes into the United team, he makes an improvement straight away. But I would be siding with Owen in the fact that he's going to be 33 in May. And the strategy that United are supposedly putting in place is they want to recruit younger players. Now, they're not doing that much recruitment at the moment, but they can't be pressing the panic button. Unfortunately, though, they don't have the greatest strategy at the moment.
If Arturo Vidal was free, you'd say, yeah, no problems. But it's just a waste of 20 million, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Elsewhere, Inter Milan have inquired about Manchester United captain Ashley Young, 34. Conte tried to sign Young when he was Chelsea coach in 2017, apparently, but signed Danny Drinkwater instead. Yeah, which also worked out. Young is out of contract with Man United at the end of the season, so he's free to negotiate a pre-contract agreement with an overseas club this month, or he could leave now for a fee. How effective is Ashley Young at the age of 34? Should Man United just try and keep him?
No, what is with Conte's weird fascination with Ashley Young?
I don't know, but you're looking at Ashley Young going to Italy, you're thinking, it's working out pretty well for Chris Smalling at the moment. Mm. Maybe Ashley Young wants a bit of the Italian life. And I think he's one of those players that United fans would be happy to see the back of him, more so the fact that it's a reminder of where they're at the moment. That,
yeah.
You know, he had his merits as a United player when Fergie signed them and obviously did a job as a left back under Mourinho. But I think
he's had a good Man United career. Like, he is not the cause of the problems.
No, absolutely not.
We also need to like hold fire on the whole sort of Chris Smalling revisionism that's going on as well. The whole he looks great in Italy, United made a mistake in selling him. Like, think of all the players that have signed from Serie A and the Premier League and have just completely tanked, that have been terrible. It's a different league, it's a different style of football.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. Sure, a few seasons ago you're watching Liverpool play Roma, and who's playing centre half for Roma? Fazio.
There you go.
So was he any good though?
Well, look, he was playing in a Champions League semi-final, which was
9:28 this morning. 16-year-old English prospect, could have been Irish. 16-year-old English prospect Louis Barry, who turned down pro contracts to join Barca's La Masia academy last year, is set to move to Aston Villa in a potential $3 million deal. That's obviously one for the future. This is a great story where he was on the books. I mean, it's a great story if you're a Villa fan. It's a terrible story if you're a West Brom fan. He's on the books at West Brom since the time he was 6 to the time he's 16. They're like, oh, this is great because this guy's a superstar. Did he play underage for Ireland?
I think so, yeah.
Underage for Ireland.
He's already said, though, he's going to...
And he's still eligible.
He is, but he's actually said he wants to play for England.
Okay, I mean, you know, he can change his mind.
Well, here's the thing. So how do you find out about a player like Louis Barry, who none of us have seen play? You go onto his Football Manager profile. So I went onto his Football Manager profile, and I'm seeing a lot of green here. He's got excellent determination, excellent flair, very good dribbling, finishing, and first touch. And his technical ability is great as well. Fantastic acceleration, great agility, and his natural fitness, also superb. That's the report on Louis Barry. Too much green there for him to be a Republic of Ireland player, I'm afraid. He's probably going to be good.
If he'd signed for an English club when he left West Brom, they would have had to pay him an absolute fortune. But he signs for Barcelona. Barcelona again, a cut price of 250 grand for a 16-year-old. And then Barcelona sell him almost immediately, 6 months later, to Villa for 3 million. Villa, happy. They've got the best player.
Yeah.
West Brom saying they're going to sue.
And the story that
he's a lifelong Villa fan.
The story going around is that he's all of a sudden been left out of the under-19 Barcelona team.
Right.
He's unhappy that he hasn't got enough game time, so now he wants to come back to England.
Poor West Brom, putting all that time and effort in. They should get some compensation for that. Meanwhile, the Mail reports that Villa have been offered the chance to sign Spanish goalkeeper, former Liverpool goalkeeper Pepe Reina, 37, from AC Milan. I thought Pepe Reina was about 50 at this stage.
No, 36.
Is he still playing?
Yeah, he's...
Surely he's been on the bench for like 15 years.
Pretty much when he moved to Bayern Munich, that was him saying, look, I'm happy enough to be a backup keeper. So,
Is that the best job in world sport?
No, third goalkeeper.
Third choice. Yeah, definitely. Think of Rob Green, Scott Carson. Like, there's no chance of you getting called into the team. Even Andy Lonergan signed for Liverpool this season, and there's no chance he's going to play.
A couple of million a year.
Like if I was Caoimhín Kelleher, I'd just try and make that my career niche. Just try and get to clubs where I can.
You need to be good enough to get to that level, though.
You need to drop off.
Yeah. So you need a couple of seasons of being first choice, and then you can drop
down. I'd like to think Caoimhín Kelleher has.
No, I'm definitely joking.
On the topic of goalkeepers, the Athletic report that Manchester United want Dean Henderson to challenge David De Gea for a starting position when he returns from his loan spell at Sheffield United. He's going to take off his gloves, smack him in the face with them, and say, "I challenge you to a duel." Could this open the door to sell the Spaniard? Should Manchester United offload David De Gea if they get a serious offer? The answer is yes, of course it is. Sell him.
Where does Romero fit into this? He obviously played the game against Wolves at the weekend, made an unbelievable save against Doherty, and then you get the questions, who would actually be a better keeper, Romero or De Gea? Because De Gea is not as good as he used to be. But we only see Romero in like Europa League games, cup games, that the sample size is quite small, but he's always impressive.
Have a battle in the off-season between Henderson and Romero and cash in on your asset at the moment, hit the reset button and continue. Change that culture, right?
Yeah, but you'd still pick De Gea over Henderson.
Yeah, but like you can get 100 million for him. Maybe not
now. I don't think you could.
You could have. You should have cashed in. Could you get 40
if
million
fax
for him?
Machine wasn't
could you
broken,
get 60 million?
Who knows?
What was that price?
It wasn't quite 100.
Anyway.
It was definitely over 50 anyway.
Yeah. That's the great sliding doors moment for Man United. Man City are interested in signing Wolves Spanish winger Adama Traore. This is not a good Villa story. Mundo Deportivo reports that Man City are interested in signing the Spanish winger but are not prepared to meet the 70 million that Wolves have put on him. What impact would the biggest arms in world football make on Manchester City?
Is this Pep Guardiola thinking, that Traore lad drives me mad. Scored two against us at the Etihad. Scored against us at Molineux. Let's sign him so we don't ever have to play against him.
Was he the Barcelona coach who let him go? Was he around that or would it have been after him?
I think it was after him, wasn't it?
After, yeah. But he obviously would...
not get in the team ever.
No. I don't think he would...
unless they play wing-backs.
I don't think he'd actually suit the way City play because he's a ball carrier. Has to be short, snappy passing with City, and
he's not as good as Mahrez or Sterling in that particular setup.
He's not a very good defender, is he?
It would have to be a back three, and then he would have to play way wider than
City.
He's
basically playing where Kyle Walker was playing last night.
And that was a back four. So
Newcastle United are interested in signing former Liverpool winger Ryan Babel. There's a blast from the past from Galatasaray. What age is Ryan Babel?
33.
Correct. You just read it a bit.
We have scripts as well.
Good guess.
Just come back on. Ajax also linked to the move from...
you'd think he'd probably favour a move back to Ajax. He had a little run with Fulham last season. Did okay, but does he want to be involved in a relegation battle or go back to...
money's probably better at Newcastle than it is at Ajax, isn't it?
Yeah, but Ajax, you know, it's... just... home country.
Yeah, maybe.
Still the Dutch international.
Finish off there. And the Sun report that 20-year-old Manchester United prospect Tae Chung could be on the move. According to the paper, the Italian giants.
Juventus.
Doesn't say which ones. Yeah, Juventus are offering Chung a 2 million signing fee and 35 grand a week. He's out of contract at the end of the season and has so far failed to sign a new deal. Is he the new Paul Pogba?
He's definitely one of the things you would associate with Chung is his hair. So that's a similarity with Pogba. There's a start. I'm reaching here.
5-year deal for Manchester United.
We haven't really seen that much of him. He obviously played at the weekend against Wolves, but you look at the guys that have gone over to Juventus from the Premier League, and like Aaron Ramsey.
What's he doing?
Emery Chan hasn't really worked out for him.
Last one, which has a bit of an Irish angle. Brighton's French striker Neil Maupay is a Napoli target, according to The Telegraph. How much of a loss would this be for the English club, and how good would it be for Connolly?
Well, Connolly would go straight up there. Maupay is clearly their best striker, and
I don't like Connolly playing up front at the moment. I prefer him out wide. I watched him play against Spurs on Stephen's Day, and I just felt he looked frustrated up there. He couldn't get on the ball because... quality of ball wasn't good enough to him.
Yeah. It's difficult. But like that's great learning, though. Yeah. All those minutes, they count double.
But there was one moment in the game where he got the ball at his feet and ran at them, and you thought, that's the Aaron Connolly I want to see.
Right. Okay, yeah. So.
I think this would be a good, decent move for Napoli. I'm unsure. Like, we've obviously seen him for half a season. But he's got like half a dozen goals or thereabouts. But he does look excellent.
Really bad team.
Newcastle should be looking at that signing, thinking to themselves, why couldn't we do that?
Yeah. All right. Okay. 9:35. Phil, good stuff. Thanks a million for that. That's all from us here this Wednesday morning on OTB AM. Thanks very much for joining us. Off the Ball is going to be back on your radios from 7 o'clock tonight. You can subscribe to the OTB AM podcast, which is fully time stamped, which makes it very easy to find exactly what you want from every morning's 2-hour show. If you missed anything this morning, we brought you the top stories. Andy Mitten on the state of Manchester United. Deal or no deal. Our Gaelic football power rankings are back. And the OTB AM Ty Kennelly interview. You'll find it on podcast or on YouTube. You can get us on your smart TV or on Go Loud. OTB AM Ireland's first and only sports breakfast show back tomorrow morning from 7:30 AM. We'll see you then. Good luck.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio. That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.